Moncrief on News Talk.
The security detail around President-elect Donald Trump has taken on some new additions. Around his Mar-a-Lago estate, they've added robot dogs. Presumably they don't bark and they don't poop on the grass. Jess Kelly is man to get one. Afternoon, Jess.
I would have one of these. I don't like actual animals, but give me a robot animal any day of the week.
Okay. All right. Fair. And so, but these cost like about 60 grand or something.
Correct.
They? Yeah.
They are $75,000. And the one that is doing the rounds in Mar-a-Lago, it's by a company called Boston Dynamics. I don't know if you've ever seen these in action, but they are freaky looking robot dogs that can carry out certain duties. They can patrol around. And the idea is that it's assisting the human beings that are on site, but they also are controlled by humans. So it's not like they've got a mind of their own and they're like, oh, I haven't been outside today, so I'll go for a waddle. They are programmed to go around the place.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, Jess is showing me a video now. And what's weird about them is that like they have legs like a dog would have, but there's no head.
So
that makes them look like spiders, kind of four-legged. Ugh, some kind of creepy.
That is the correct response.
What's the point then? If somebody has to control it, what's the point of having it? It's not like helping them.
Well, no, it is because of the situations that they can go into. So these dogs, they're not just being used to protect and as part of President-elect Donald Trump's detail. They're also being used where there's thought to be explosive devices. They're being used quite a bit on dangerous construction sites because although they look like a dog without a head, they are filled with sensors and cameras. So it can detect if there are, uneven fields or if there's a minefield or something like that ahead, it can detect it. The cameras and the radars inside them can build a 3D map. So you can send one of these $75,000 robot dogs into an area. It'll assess the area and in real time, you'll be able to get that information back. Or, as I said, you can build that 3D picture of what exactly is going on. They can also, because they do have dog-like limbs, they can go up and down stairs. They can go through very narrow, very awkward passageways. And the idea is, in a situation where it's not deemed safe for a person to go in, you deploy these. Or rather than having human beings walking the perimeter of somewhere like Mar-a-Lago, you can just send one of these dogs. It's programmed to do certain tasks and the information is being fed back to a human who can then take action if needed.
OK, so there isn't a person with a joystick telling the dog to go left or right. It's certainly in Mar-a-Lago. It's on a pre-programmed route.
It is on a pre-programmed route, but there is the option to intervene with the joystick. And there are a number of examples where, if it's on a specific mission, so say, for example, it's going into an area where they think that there might be a bomb or some sort of explosive, that then is controlled by a joystick. So it's kind of like you like a remote control car type thing. Mm. But again, it's the clarity and it's the detail and the data that the dog can feed back that is very beneficial.
OK, right. And but in Mar-a-Lago, one assumes there aren't unexploded ordnance around the place. So what could the dog detect there?
So it has different kinds of sensors, similar enough to, like sonar and radar and all that information. So it'll have the heat mapping detection. So we could see, for example, if somebody was hiding in the trees, which is we know something like that did happen. It can identify different elements like that. And the fact that it is going around and around and it's not going to get exhausted, changes in the scene will be detected over a period of time. So if the dog has done four laps and on lap number three, something a bit suspicious was identified, they can intervene and check and they can look back and cross-reference against the data that was curated and created previous. So I suppose this is one of a number of examples of these types of robotic animals that are coming down the tracks, but they are very much being utilised for the most part in that sort of dangerous situation where you don't want to deploy a human being.
Somebody says there was a robot dog walking around the ploughing championships this year.
Yeah. So that these robot animals are going to become the norm. I don't know if you have seen Casio. You know Casio, the watch people?
Yeah.
They're now bringing out AI powered and they're furry. They're more animal looking pets. So you're the way I...
Oh, yeah. And these kind of have emotions in inverted commas. And they're kind of, oh, gosh, yes. That's very cute looking. Yeah,
it is adorable. It's like a modern day Furby.
Yeah.
But again, it won't pee on your carpet and it'll respond to you emotionally. So think of a Furby and a Tamagotchi in a physical cuddly being. Now, they're still pretty expensive. They're around $500.
Whoa. Okay.
But I do think this technology will become more and more affordable. And the idea is that, as I said, it won't pee on the carpet. It won't die on you. And you'll still get that sort of human-esque connection. It's a bit like that film WALL-E.
Yeah. And this little furry toy.
Yeah.
How does it indicate its emotional state? Does it make sounds?
It can make sounds and it can snuggle up to you.
Okay.
How cute.
Yeah.
And again, it won't pee on your carpet. That's the big selling point
for me. That's a big thing. But if you treat it abysmally, if you go, oh, sod off, furry robotic animal, I don't feel like it today, does it, you know, go into a corner and weep? Or does it, can you reset it?
I don't think it weeps. I think you can. There must be like a Men in Black type setting where you can forget its memory. But the idea is that it'll reflect the amount of affection it shows you, or you show it, and because it's AI, it learns your habits over time. So for example, if you sit down on the couch at 7 o'clock every evening and you want to get all cozy rosy with it, it'll snuggle in at that stage. It'll understand and learn when you're not there. But the idea is that it's just that bit of connection for somebody who doesn't want the commitment of a real life pet.
Yeah, okay. Going back to the robot dogs, as you say, they can go the whole time.
Mm.
Do they have to recharge them at some point?
Yeah. Or? So the beauty of these is that they have been tested in terms of, like, anytime there's these robots, because we have a lot of robots operational in this country. They're called collaborative robots, right? Or cobots is the slangy term. And the idea is that they are produced so that the hinges and the limbs in the dog's instances can perform up to a certain number before they need any form of repair. In terms of the battery life, they will need to be recharged, similar to a mobile phone. But given that these have been, I suppose, purpose built with specific functionality in mind, it has been optimized for this one thing. So yes, they do need to be recharged. The limbs and the sensors and all the rest have been optimized for the specific purposes that they are being deployed for. But the idea is that they'll be able to utilize this type of technology in other situations down the line and make it that bit more affordable. Because at the moment, as I said, it's $75,000 for one of them.
Yeah, but would you suspect, though, having one wandering around Mar-a-Lago and there's been lots of pictures taken of it, that's kind of more in the publicity stunt area of things, just to show what they're doing.
God, you're so cynical.
Rather than, you know, because you could see the use of it like in Ukraine or something that they use it, but not necessarily around a golf resort.
No, I think that is probably a little bit notions. And I do think I think that a big element of this is the normalization of this. Like, I don't know when the last time you were in America, but when you're in the US now, there's a whole host of robots going around the place.
Oh, God.
And although these are, you know, as I said, this particular one, this is called Spot, this particular dog, this is designed with security in mind. I do think we're going to see more and more robots in random situations. There are delivery robots up and down the streets, particularly in California, but I've seen them in New York as well. There are cleaner robots. We're also, I was at CES in Las Vegas 2 years ago, and they had a robot flight attendant. So when you went to check in at the airport, rather than just being met with a touchscreen that you interact with, they had somebody there who could give you all the information. It looked like a human being. And unlike our scary dog, it had a face, but it also had skin-like material over it. It could smile. Its eyes wrinkled when it smiled. It could fake laugh. It's a bit freaky, but I do think we need to get used to seeing these robots, because the functionality, they don't get sick. They can work all hours of the day and night. And I think with the implementation of artificial intelligence, if you put some of these programs that exist into a humanoid looking robot, the world is your oyster, really, in a scary way.
75 grand. Yeah. People are still texting and saying, what price are they? Could anyone buy one? Or do you have to, you know, is it kind of a security type thing?
It would be a security type thing. Again, this particular one has been designed with a purpose in mind. Now, if you do have a spare 75 grand lying around, there are other robots that you can buy. There are so many different iterations. You can get ones that will do your dishes for you. You can get ones that will do your ironing. You can get one of those little furry, freaky pets that are out there now as well. But I suppose it's like everything. there's no point in having one unless you have a function for it. So if you're not a president-elect or if you're not in a war zone, you probably don't need a 75,000 euro Boston Dynamics dog. That'd be my humble opinion.
Somebody wants to know, I don't know if you know, have the answer to this or not, any research if they suit people with autism?
So there are service dogs that are being developed as well as companion pets. I haven't seen any of them sort of out in the wild as of yet, but I know this is an area where they are looking to try and develop support technologies that would have the functionality of, you know, as I said, a support pet, but also might be able to offer extra services to those who may need them. So this is where the technology is going to be transformational. There's often a lot of talk about, you know, the weird and wonderful side of things. But, you know, just last week on my show, I was talking to somebody from Vision Ireland who was talking about how AI is going to transform the lives of people who are visually impaired.
Yeah.
So think about it, right? If you've got an AI app on your phone and you go to a restaurant, rather than having your assistant device, so your phone, for example, reading out the entire menu, you could speak to your device and say, give me the food options that are less than 25 euro, or what are the fish options on this menu? And the AI will be able to read, understand the context of your question, and then filter that information back to you. So as much as we talk about the weird and wonderful robot dogs, there's so much development going on with robotic technology and artificial intelligence that will transform people's lives and save people money, because we know in this country as well, you know, assistive services like that can be quite expensive. So hopefully by having this technology en masse, it'll level the playing field a little bit and give more opportunities to more people.
Someone is suggesting that the reason they had robot dogs there was because they were scared if they had real dogs, somebody would eat them. Jess, thanks a million. As ever, Jess Kelly there, News Talk technology correspondent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.